is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
Amongst the jobs of the Senate is to confirm nominees from a new president for cabinet positions. It's a very important part of the work of the Senate. An important piece of that is for the Senate committee to have the full package of information on each candidate so they can formulate their questions, ask the questions they need to ask, and then vote appropriately. Senator Durbin joins us now. With all due respect, Senator, I'd like to choke Mitch McConnell, and I don't mean that in a threatening way. It's just this ethics package has to be complete, and if it's not, we don't need to start this.
And Senator McConnell wrote to us 7 or 8 years ago admonishing us when the tables were turned and there was a Democratic president named Barack Obama, he was going to hold us to that standard. If nominees wanted to move forward, they had to file the required papers, ethics statements, divestment of their investments that may be a conflict, tax returns were required, FBI check. And we said, you're right. That's exactly what the law says. And that is what President Obama followed. Now we're being told, we're going to have to treat this a little differently. Some of these people are so rich and wealthy that it's going to take more time to go through all of their holdings and all their possible conflicts.
All the more reason to do it.
Absolutely. And if there's going to be trust in the process, then we have to know these things. When Penny Pritzker from Chicago sought the office of Secretary of Commerce, she has a lot of wealth and a lot of holdings. It took 6 months to go through everything, to clear everything, and give her chance to serve. She patiently did it because that's what the law requires. We can expect nothing less when it comes to the appointees of President-elect Trump.
The process of going forward, because you have the votes, can you steamroll this thing if you're the Republicans?
Well, they can to some extent. They can push it through committee. They can report them out of committee on partisan roll calls. When it comes to the floor, there are requirements of a certain time for debate, basically 30 hours, sometimes more. We waive those things when everything looks normal and non-controversial. But if Mitch McConnell and the president-elect are going to insist on avoiding the legal requirements, then we've got to take some more time. You know, we have a right to know in the Senate. More importantly, the American people have a right to know.
Yeah, and that's really the key issue. Now, can we also agree going forward that we're going to make an effort to stop screwing around with the Supreme Court? Because, you know, when I was growing up, Senator, it didn't take Schoolhouse Rock to teach me that it was the third equal branch of the government and shouldn't be manhandled by Congress and played around with in a partisan way.
Well, it's a mess, and it's a mess because last year, with the death of Anton Scalia and President Obama following his constitutional mandate to nominate someone to fill the vacancy, something happened that had never happened before in the history of the Senate. Never. Senator McConnell, the Republican leader, said, we're not going to have a hearing on President Obama's nominee, and we're certainly not going to have a vote. In fact, he said, I refuse to even meet with the person. That had never happened. When the tables were turned with President Reagan in his last year in office, he sent the name Anthony Kennedy to the Senate. I believe Joe Biden was the chair of Judiciary. A hearing, a vote, Kennedy to the court in that last lame duck year. No questions asked. And in this case, Mitch McConnell said, I'll wait to see if I can get a Republican president to fill this vacancy. Well, with a big smile, he declared victory on November the 9th. He had his Republican president-elect. The vacancy still existed on the court. Now the question is, what do we do about the nominee to be sent to us from the White House? If it turns out to be a person who is not controversial, who is clearly qualified, moderate in tone and approach, I don't think there's going to be a lot of controversy. Sure, there'll be questions, but it'll go through the normal course. However, if we end up with someone in an extreme position, I mean, look at where we are today. I mean, it really has corrupted the system with what we've been through over the last year.
Yeah, and the bottom line for me is this. It's a process of advice and consent that is constitutionally mandated. It's not up for debate. It's not up for translation by Mitch McConnell. And frankly, it doesn't help when Senator Schumer says something like maybe we won't approve anybody either. So he needs to control that side. So because the Democrats have an opportunity to look like the good guys here. And frankly, you guys need it.
Well, I've talked to Chuck about that, and his point was what I tried to make earlier. If this is a mainstream nominee to fill this vacancy, it's going to be a lot easier for Democrats to swallow hard and say, well, you know, what, we were treated unfairly under President Obama, but for the benefit of this nation, we've got to move forward. So now the burden really falls to the president-elect.
Senator Jeff Sessions is first on the hot seat. Do you anticipate any, pushback? Do you expect his nomination to go through? And who else do you think might be getting more pushback from the confirmation hearings?
Well, I can tell you Senator Sessions' hearing this morning is going to be one that I'll be involved in, and I think we followed very closely. This is the highest legal office in the land when it comes to law enforcement. And Senator Sessions and I came to the Senate in the same year. We could give one another speeches. We know one another that well. When he came by my office the other day, thank goodness he didn't try to tell me there's a new Jeff Sessions. He basically said, I am what I am, and I understand that he does too. Some of his positions really trouble me, and I'm going to be asking him about them this morning when he's appearing before this committee. But, you know, he is one of several controversial nominees in terms of their background, their positions. Governor Perry, who wants to abolish the department that he's going to be asked to head. Rex Tillerson to the Secretary of State's position, who has been a very successful international businessman in the oil industry. I mean, Congressman Price, who wants to head up the agency that is dealing with Medicare, who's called for privatizing and basically changing Medicare as we know it. There is some controversy associated with these nominees.
Yeah, and it has to be gone through. It does. Steve Rozanich is in the newsroom. Is Betsy Voss hearing postponed, Steve?
Yes, it has been, apparently. DeVos, the hearing has been postponed until Thursday. According to sources on Capitol Hill, the senator might be able to confirm that it's pushed from Wednesday to Thursday, we're hearing.
Well, it's been pushed back, and I don't know the exact day. She is another one who hasn't filed the appropriate papers and has some outstanding issues, including a $5 million fine in the state of Ohio. So, you know, we have due diligence requirements here. The Republicans use them against Obama nominees. We have to apply the same standard against the Trump nominees. And in this case, a person who has extensive holdings, she married into the Amway family. She was part of the Prince family in Michigan, which is also very wealthy. So, you know, there are a lot of questions that need to be asked and answered about each of these nominees.
Will you make it in for the speech tonight?
Breaks my heart to say no. I sure want to be there. It means the world to me, but I've got a job to do here with Senator Sessions, and I'm going to stay at my post, and I'm going to miss it and regret it.
When you get a chance, if it's appropriate, I hope you'll express to the president my respect for his ability as a father. Because regardless of whatever disagreements there may be about how he's handled the presidency, I think the first family as a family unit leaves the White House after 8 years in pretty remarkable shape. And these girls look like solid citizens. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for that.
Steve, 10 years ago, when I sat down in a small room in the Union League Club and said to Senator Barack Obama, you ought to run for president. I wasn't the first, but one of the first to ask him to consider it. The first thing he said was, I'm worried about the girls. What does this mean to them and to my family? I better talk to Michelle. I said, you sure better talk to her. I couldn't agree with you more. Now that I saw them last week, those two young women are outstanding. And to think that they've been raised in the crucible of the White House with all that public attention and turned out to be such good kids, both Michelle and the president can be proud of their kids and all the work they put into making them the fine young women that they are.
I don't know what to say about these hearings. Have fun, break a leg, ask a good question. I don't know. Good luck,
well,
I guess.
We're doing it in the room, which is historic. Iran-Contra hearings, Watergate hearings, Clarence Thomas hearings. I think about that when I walk in that room. If there was a mouse on the wall, you could get a good glimpse of American history just in that one room.
That mouse has had a stroke a long time ago. Too much pressure.
I think that's true.
All the best. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.